It sure is good to see each of you tonight. I think we do have a few that are missing. I think there's some sickness and just different things going on along those lines there, but miss those that aren't able to be with us, but sure am thankful for those of you that can be, and then folks can listen online as well, so it kind of keeps us together when we can't be together, so I'm definitely thankful for that. So been looking forward to getting back to church tonight and getting back into our study. Been thinking on this quite a bit, and I think we've actually been talking about it a whole lot here lately, talking about the rapture, the second coming, the eternal state, and what have you there. So if you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter number 25, we'll try to get started tonight. Probably quite a bit of reading, but sometimes that's the simplest way to get the point across in covering it. But I did want to make mention too, being that Sunday we do spring forward, and so our clocks will be moving our clocks forward. Next Wednesday will be 7 o'clock on our Wednesday night service, so we'll be going back to 7 a.m. next Wednesday. But now if you come here at 6:30, just hang out a few and you'll just be early, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. We'll leave lights on for you. What's that, brother? Yeah, it's a p.m. Yeah. Put on the p.m. Now, if you want to be here real early, ain't nothing wrong with that either. You know, absolutely. There's so much to be in prayer for. Really been praying about our revival coming up. And you say, that's on down in April. That's a long way away. Now's the time to be getting ready for that. It's time to get ready for it. And been talking to the brothers, and we've been praying and talking. And also wanted to make mention tonight, too. Mount Lebanon will be turning 135 years old this year. And so and we're still, I guess, putting together everything as far as the service goes. And I believe what we've been talking about, looking at, is in having it in May, and looking at May 31st. And so I wanted the church to know I was able to get in touch with Brother Jeff Wilson, and he said he'd be happy to come, honored to come preach for us and what have you. So I wanted to let you know about that too, to be in prayer for him. And I think it'd be good to catch up with him. He's telling me a little bit about the services they've been having in the Philippines, and several people being saved. And he said, I got to preach to 100 preachers. I thought, man, that's something else. You know, that's all right. That's good. There's a lot of exciting things going on around the world. I know we see a lot, what we see in the news and everything, and that can absolutely get our minds going in different directions and unsureties and things like that. And then I've been thinking a lot this week, too, that it would be easy if that's all that we focused our minds on to really it would be overwhelming to try to put all those things together and hold that together. And you see these signs coming as the Bible teaches, and you try to watch that. And if you're not careful, then you just kind of get anxious. Your anxiety can kick in and what have you. But I'm thankful for the peace that we can have even through those things just simply by following the Word of God and the promises that He gives us. When you start putting these things together, these scriptures together in the Bible, it's extremely helpful. We're not left just to wonder. No man knows the time, but we're not left to wonder how things are going to be or what's going to take place. And we'll see that a lot tonight. Tonight, on our church constitution, we're at the topic of the eternal state. The eternal state. And speaking from personal experience, that's all I have. You know, I think about the eternal state. I've put my faith in Jesus Christ. I have all my hope in Him. And what the Bible says about salvation, how to be saved, that's my hope. And so when I look at it that way, I'm excited about it in the fact that I know where I'm going. I don't know when, and I don't know how it's going to take place. And so that's the thing there. Sometimes it might draw in a little bit of anxiety or what have you, but it's important that we focus on the Lord, simply focus on Him. Keep our hearts and our minds on Him and stay as close to Him as you possibly can. I wouldn't want to be outside the will of God somewhere or kind of one foot in and one foot out, and I wouldn't want to be like that. It's kind of one of those situations that you're absolutely better off just to be all in, because we don't know when He's coming back. But what a joy it is to know that he's taking care of us and he's put things in place for us. And I was going to read a few verses here in Matthew 25 to get us started. And again, there's quite a bit of reading, but when you hear it straight from the Word of God, there's no better place to get that. So we're looking at verses 31 through 46. We'll read those and we'll get to, matter of fact, let's just go ahead and pray. But we'll look at those verses, but let's pray and we'll get started. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to gather tonight with each one that's been able to be here. Lord, we're thankful for those also who are able to listen in and have things that way also, being able to communicate that way. But God, I pray that you help me tonight to guide my mind. Lord, help me to speak clearly and plainly, keep everything in context. A lot of reading tonight. Lord, I pray for your help there, that it just come across the way that you would have it to. Lord, it's just good to gather with your people around your word and even discuss things and talk about things and have that fellowship where we can come together and reason together. Lord, I just thank you so much for this church. I thank you for the testimony, Lord, and just the length that it's been a church, God. We just thank you for that. It's humbling to see it, and Lord, we're just thankful to take a part. And God, I just pray also, Lord, if there's anybody here tonight, Lord, you know every heart. I don't. Lord, sometimes we think about the young people who have not made a profession of faith, but then there's also folks, Lord, maybe older folks, Lord, we don't know everybody's hearts, God. Lord, I know you do. And Lord, I just pray that you speak to us through your word, help us confirm those things in our hearts, Lord, that need to be there. And Lord, just help us to see it and help us to stand on the truths that we have in your word and what we have in you. Father, ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When you look at how this is written in our church constitution and then, of course, the verses that go along with it, it can be and should be, to a degree, probably a little scary or a little frightening. It should cause us to think. When you look around and I see people every day, you do too, and sometimes I wonder if they know the Lord. I wonder, not in a judgmental way, but you want to make sure people are okay, that they have what they need, that they're prepared. And you know, you look at it that way, every single one of us needs that same preparation. We need that same hope. None of us are immune to it. There's not different paths and different ways. It's just that one way. And I tell you, we should all have a burden to see people saved. If we know them or not, there should be that concern for people. And you see what's taking place here. My subscription, my Bible, it says here, the judgment of the Gentiles. But verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Talking about the new Jerusalem that is going to be coming together. And this is the Lord here. You see the red lettering, and it says, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. You see it, his sheep from the goats. You see there's a separation there. There's a distinguishing comment made there. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. So people are going to be divided. People are going to be divided out. You know, there's a lot talking today when you hear things. A lot of it's just, let's just be together, one big happy family, all these kind of things. But you have to accept the Lord to be on the right hand. He knows. He knows if you're one of his or if you're not. There's no sneaking in or sneaking by. He knows. And this is the time of preparation that we have to be prepared while we're here on this earth. In verse 34, it says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This has always been set in place. The Lord has never been behind on anything, trying to catch up. Mankind has not changed his plan ever. It's not changed his plan. He's had his plan set in place. And that's just how it's going to be. And we see here from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Verse 40, it says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall ye say also unto them, on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's who hell is prepared for. It's important that we know the answer to that question. People talk about the Lord, his grace, his goodness, his love. And the statement has been made, if he loves us that much, why would he send us to hell? Why would he send somebody to hell? It's not a matter of sending. You have the choice today not to go. The ticket is there. If you have to have a ticket to go on a trip, and that ticket is laid out before you, and you turn away from that ticket after it's been offered to you, that is your choice. That is what the Bible teaches here. We have a choice to take that or not. And so it's also talking about here about how people have been treated, and what it was saying here, the way the Lord is talking about this. It's talking about his brethren. When you see brethren, we should know and see that that's talking about the Jewish nation, the people there. It says, for I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. This is those, the wicked or the non-believer, is what he's referring to. I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. There was no care, there was no love shown, there was no compassion shown from these people to his brethren. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or at thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? In verse 45, this is the key verse for us to look at here, 45, 46, as far as our reading for tonight from our church constitution. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to life eternal. We're going to see different places tonight that this is given. We're talking in CFC a few nights ago, or I guess maybe a week or so ago. It's hard for me to really understand this. When you think about God, who is eternal, he's forever. You even think about our creation, which is just beginning some 6,000 years ago, and just up to the point until we have the Lord Jesus Christ return and you go into a different dispensation. See, human people, we have a beginning, but we don't have a end. There's a physical end. We'll see this later on by the end of it. There's a physical end, but there's not a spiritual end. Once you are created, once you are conceived, your soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. That's a given. That is what is being stated here. You see it here, given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, being those who have not accepted Christ, and making reference to how these people had treated his brethren is the way it's worded here. But then also the righteous unto life eternal. So that's, it gives you two distinguishing places. You will be somewhere for eternity. Think about that. See, my mind's already blown because I'm just trying to get through the day sometimes. I'm just trying to get through bit by bit and piece by piece. But as we go through our days, very busy, minds on different things, work and maybe fun things, what have you. And I do believe that God allows us to have a balance of life so we don't go crazy. I should be honest with you. Because if you had your mind on hell every single day, it would get to you. I mean, you think about that. You think about if that is all you could think about, you would have to reconcile that some way. I remember when I was lost, I mean, I'll be honest, that was the greater part of where my mind stayed constantly. If I was at school, if I was at church, or if I was at home and alone in the bed trying to sleep, that was the worst place I could be. But you know, that's how the Lord works in his conviction. But after being saved, you can have that reassurance. You can be able to move forward, and I thank God for that. Another verse that we have here, let me read this. It says, as far as our constitution, it says, we believe in the bodily resurrection of all men, the saved to eternal life, the unsaved to judgment and everlasting punishment. So one of two places. You will be one of two places. The very fact that you're here today proves that. You are going to be one of two places for eternity. I want you to kind of really focus in on that. John chapter number 5, verses 28 through 29. You can turn if you want to or you don't have to. Just kind of reading a few verses, but there's more substantial verses to read a little bit later. But it says here, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which that all are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." You're going to see this all throughout the New Testament. It's there. You'll never see it contradicted. You're not going to find a contradiction in the Bible or one of these things that you might read and say, well, I see it like this or I see it like that. The Bible is very clear on what it teaches when you look at the different people who are doing the speaking here, John being here, but you see the different ones talking. You're going to see that there's different topics here, different people speaking the same topic is what I'm trying to say. John chapter 11, verse 25 through 26, and he's saying here, "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And it doesn't stop there, but I want to stop there for just a second. Jesus is giving an explanation here about how salvation works. When you have, at that point in time, it might have been in some ways more difficult when you had the Jewish, all the law and everything they were trying to do at that time, or as far as observing the law versus what you and I live in today. The Lord has made it so simple for you and I to simply believe Him. And I think maybe sometimes it's too simple for people to comprehend. You say, how can such a big decision be so simple to make? Well, Jesus made it that way. He took the sting out of death. He went to the cross for you and I. He paid the punishment that we couldn't pay. All we could do is die. That's all you and I could do. Under the law, all it could do, the law, was convict us and place us under the punishment of death. And then all you and I could do under that is die. And here's the thing. There's nobody in this room. There is nobody in this world that has the power to raise themselves up again. Once we lay down, we don't have that power. You know that? It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. And so what he is saying here, I am the resurrection. Jesus talks about being the first fruits. He is the first one. He's the only one that went to the cross, died, had the ability to die for somebody else's sin. You know, you can't die for somebody else's sin even if you want to. Even if you loved your family member, and I know we do, love your family member that much, is that I would die for them if that would cause them to get saved. It's still the blood of Jesus Christ. It's still his death. It's your faith in what he did. And that's what Jesus is explaining to this lady here. I am the resurrection. I am the one and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, if you're not saved, that's the state that person is in. In a spiritually dead state. But what he's saying here, it doesn't end there. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So he says this to this woman. What's the next reasonable question, Brother Finley? Believest thou this? Do you believe that? See, that's the question that is being asked of you tonight. Do you believe that? Now, here's the thing. As a saved person, that makes my heart rejoice. That gives me hope. That gives me peace. That gives me rest. When I see the headlines and news, you see these things happen. When I see hard things happen in life down here, when I hear the passing of young people, heard of that this week, I think maybe even more than one, but the passing of the sweet lady that we've been praying for, she passed away this week. Had a couple of brothers call and ask for prayer, and this father was driving back from the hospital to go tell his young kids, Mama's not coming home. How do you cope with that? Just as a human being in the flesh, how do you cope with that? How hard that is. But my understanding, she knows the Lord and she's at home. It's that simple. My understanding, too, she had a child that had passed away, so she's with that child. I mean, aren't you glad you have that hope? Amen. Brother Nathan, I'm so thankful I have that hope. We'd be most miserable if all we had is what we looked around on this earth and say, we better make the most of this because this is as good as it gets. Talk to people, and there's a lot of people that believe that way. Their goal is to try to either experience as many things as they can on this earth, what this earth has to offer, or try to make as much money and be as successful as this world defines being successful. But I think about it like this, in the way my mind works, if I had everything and knew that that was going to end, and I had nothing, no hope after that, I would be absolutely miserable. I like having something to look forward to. And I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus made it possible for us to be able to look forward to heaven. We're talking about the eternal state tonight. If any person has ever lived, you are eternally bound to be somewhere for eternity. I was going to say for the rest of your life, but it goes on way further than that. There is no end. You think about Jesus, it's infinite. There is no stopping, but you and I, we have a starting point, but we have no ending point. But where we spend eternity is a choice of ours to make. Let's go to Revelation chapter number 20. Try to hurry along here, try not to drag things out, but I want to go at a pace that things make sense and not outrun things here. Revelation chapter 20, verses 5 through 6 is where I want to spend a little time here and then go back, maybe have time back into Corinthians a little bit, maybe speed things up a little bit looking back there. But a Revelation chapter number 20, it gives us the description of the resurrections. The first resurrection, and then you have the first death, or the first resurrection, then you have the second death. And I kind of want to spend time there. You probably heard that, and if you haven't, I'll try my very best not to be confusing on it, because it talks about what I was just trying to explain there. But Revelation 20, verses 5 and 6, I'll go ahead and read verse 4 also. It's talking about the saints being resurrected. This is something that we are here, when you think about where we were at last week, talking about the rapture, this is what takes place during this time. A little bit different verses that goes along with that. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And so when you're talking about this time period here, this is people who did not take the mark of the beast, did not worship the image. They stayed faithful to God during the time of the tribulation period is what it's making reference to here. There will be some that are faithful during that time. Again, remember who this is for. This is for the nation of Israel, the Jewish people is who this is for. And then what it says here, after this time, there's going to be a 1,000-year reigning period. This is that millennial reign that we've been talking about. Again, try not to be confusing at all, but that is what is going to take place. Verse number 5, it says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. There's going to be those who have died that have not been, that died lost. They're not going to be part of this first resurrection. I want you to see what it's making reference to here. Verse number 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. These are the people throughout time who have accepted Jesus Christ, who have died and gone on. Those of us who are taken in the rapture, I can't promise you that, but we got a better chance than anybody else. I'll say it like that. We're still here. But it's talking about those people that were saved. Those people are going to be part of the first resurrection. Those people who are part of the first resurrection do not take part in the second death. They do not take part. We're going to go there, and we're going to look at that. And so I want us to see what it's talking about here. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4. I know I've read this many, many times. I was thinking about it when I was studying this and putting my placeholder here. These pages are pretty wrinkly. I've been through here a whole lot. But it's a good place to be if you're a child of God. And it's a good thing if you're wondering what happens at death, what happens at the time of the rapture. If you're wondering, this is exactly what tells us that. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. This is the first resurrection. That's what it's talking about. These are the people who are redeemed, the believers in Jesus Christ, and this is what's going to happen at that time period. This is what's going to happen. It says, "But I would not to have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." That's the ones who have already died and gone on. Think about all the many generations, people who have passed away, who have died. You go back into the Old Testament. The Old Testament saints, all the way up through today, all creation. That's a lot of people. It's a whole lot of people. "I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." I'm thankful for that blessed hope. We got something to look forward to. Even if we go by way of the grave, we'll be here for this. You won't miss that. The child of God is not going to miss this first resurrection. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." You see, right there's a little hint, it's the gospel. You can't get around salvation without the gospel. The gospel is the centerpiece, and what Jesus Christ did on the cross is the centerpiece. There's no other way around that. I want us to be very, very clear on that. "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." He's going to bring them in the clouds. This is not when Jesus actually steps foot on the earth, but our loved ones are going to meet us in the clouds. And that's going to happen fast. Don't blink. It's going to happen very fast. And I tell you, what a way to go. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." We're not going to stop them. We're not going to hold them back. We're not going to precede them. They're going to come first. The Lord's going to bring him, and we're going to meet them. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So that's happening instantly. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." So once you're with them, you're never away from them. Our loved ones that have passed away, that are saved, they're with Jesus Christ. That's the only comfort that I can give you when you think about death. Death is a serious thing. It's going to happen. That's something that we have to deal with in life. But you see here, if you're saved, you're going to be with Jesus forever. In verse number 18, it says here, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." That's one of the most comforting things that I can read to you or share with you. Is that right there? Now, I do want to, this is the first resurrection. Now, I also want to read this here in 1 Corinthians. There's quite a bit in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. This is another section in my Bible that the pages are really crinkly when I get to 1 Corinthians 15. But I want to look at verses 20 through 58. I'll try to speed us up. I really want to get through this. When you put these things together, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Without the resurrection, I know Easter's upon us soon and what have you, but without this happening here, there would be no hope. If the other parts of the gospel were completed, but Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead, then we would be nowhere better off, not any more better off. And so this is the part here. This is where he's explained he has become the first fruits of them that slept, those that have passed away. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, this body is going to die. Flesh and blood shall not, will not inherit the kingdom of God. We'll see that also. But for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's all who've accepted him. That's all that believe in him and the gospel and what he did for us on the cross. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. What we just read at 1 Thessalonians. Those that are alive at his coming, those that have accepted him at his coming. And then it goes on to say here, verse number 24, it says, then cometh the end. Then he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. This is talking about Jesus. Delivering up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. This is making reference to the millennial reign. He is going to set everything right during this time period. All the wrongs, all the question marks we have now, there will not be any question marks left after the millennial reign. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. That's everybody. There's no loose ends. And I like verse number 26. It says, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. There's going to be no more death after this. After the millennial reign, after the second death, there's no more death after that. He hath put all things under his feet. But when he hath said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected which did put all things under him. See, God put Jesus in all power and authority until these things were to be completed. And what we see during the time of creation, what we see during the time of the Gospels, the time of the cross, and what we see during the human race on earth. Now look at verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. This is when Jesus takes his church, his bride, us, and he submits it right back unto God. You say, well, what happens after that? That's eternity. That's when everything that we see and what we know now and understand it now during this dispensation, that's all gone. We've entered into eternity to be with the Lord, one of two places again, either in heaven with the Lord or in hell with the devil and his angels. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? This goes on to a little bit. This is a ritual. Some were saying, well, I don't know if this person had it or not. I'll get baptized for them. And Paul goes on to explain to them, if that person didn't believe, it's too late. You can do any kind of ritual you want to. There's no purgatory to pray somebody out of. That's not going to happen. And he's saying that that's just not how it's going to be. Verse number 35, I'll hurry along. It says, but man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? So how's this happen? The people have questions. Sometimes it's good questions, wanting a serious answer. And sometimes people are trying to just be foolish. Verse 36, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Talking about when we plant a garden and what have you, what we plant dies out and something new springs forth out of it. You don't put one in the ground expecting one to come out. There's a multiplication there. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it pleaseth him, and every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, other of fish, of beast, and other of fish, or other flesh of beast, other of fishes, and other birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Talking about angels. Angels are celestial. We are not made the same as angels. We're not. We're terrestrial. We're different. We're made out of the earth. That's where we come from. There's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For the star differeth one star differeth one from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, think about Adam. It is raised a spiritual body, think about Jesus. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not the first which is spiritual, that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is from the Lord in heaven. It makes me think about the song Two Coats. I've heard, I believe it was Sister Nancy and different ones singing. I remember them singing that at Mountaindale when I was reading this. Exactly what it made me think of, the new coat. And as the earthly, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. These bodies are not going to go. They're not going to go up. You can see verses 51 through 58 here. It's talking about our hope and how this is going to take place. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Not everybody is going to die. There's going to be that time of rapture when the rapture takes place and those who are alive and remain are going to be caught up. You see the common theme when you put all these verses together. I love when you take different scripture and it just lines perfectly. So for those who say, well, the Bible only says this once, that's enough. But when you see all these things come together, that's what I would say is more than enough. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Remember, we've talked a lot about the law, and that's all it could do is convict. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always moving forward and working to see people saved, working for the Lord, just getting in there for Him, not backing out. Now let's go to Revelation 20. I'm going to close here. I know it's a lot of reading, but this is the verses in our Constitution. I think it's best to go through them. Some maybe have heard it, those verses many times, maybe some for the first time, and there's times I read for maybe the 100th time and still gain and get something new out of it. But Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. It's something to think about. Decisions that people make during their life, the life that we have right now. The decision that we make while we're alive here on this earth will play out right here. One of two ways. Either if you've accepted Christ and you've been resurrected with Him. But this is what happens to those who have not. We've talked about the first resurrection. Those who are resurrected at the rapture, they're caught into heaven. They're with the Lord, and so will they forever be with the Lord. But now those who have not accepted Christ, this is what happens to those people. And it's very, very plain in what it says here. So here, the verse number 11, it says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire." Let me make sure. I'm in 19. Let me go over one more. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. I know that. Okay. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." This is what's referred to as the great white throne judgment. And what it's making sure, this is for those who have not accepted Christ. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Those people that maybe some people on earth look up to. We maybe think they're popular or celebrity or what have you, or maybe there's people that you don't even know, never heard of, but that's what's making reference to here. There's no smaller grade under God. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I couldn't think of a worse thing. To have the opportunity to have somebody say, Jason, I'm going to take your place. Everything you've done wrong, I'm going to take that punishment upon myself. I'm going to take that. So you don't have to. If it was spanking time and you had two brothers standing there and one said, oh, no, let me take it from my brother. The one that was getting ready to get the whipping would probably say, thank you. Yeah, please, please. You wouldn't want to walk away from that. But you see what happens here? These are the people who walked away from somebody that was going to, already has paid the punishment for their sin. And I saw the small, dead and great, and stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I couldn't think of anything worse. If you had another way, you had somebody that was willing, somebody had paid that price, but yet they're going to take responsibility for every single thing that they've done. That's all they have. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. I would rather have mercy. I'd rather have mercy. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is it. There's no more being called up to be judged. Nothing like that. This is the other side of eternity. This is the side of eternity for those who have not accepted Christ. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so you talk about the reality of hell and what we believe in the eternal state, it's straight from the Word of God. It's not something man-made. It's not something that's trying to use to try to scare people or anything like that. It's the Word of God. And either we believe that and accept it or we don't. But I'm going to stop there tonight. I know it's a lot of reading. I know it's a lot more teaching than maybe just straight out preaching. But I think it's important that you go line by line and verse by verse. And had a really good preacher friend tell me one time, he said, make sure to always put the cookies on the bottom shelf. I've seen people getting a